You are listening to the Big Blue Rock Pod, produced by the Kentucky Geological Survey at the University of Kentucky. This podcast is a fun, conversational approach to discussing all things geology and earth processes. We talk emerging ideas and research, along with classic topics in earth science for all levels of interest. Let's do the show. Hello, welcome to the Big Blue Rock Pod. I'm Matt Crawford, along with my co-hosts, Doug Curl and Sarah Arpin. What's up?
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Happy spring.
Happy spring.
Flowers are out.
Yeah. Yes. We're looking at
super
flowers
nice
in the field yesterday.
Yeah, we were.
Super and nice other
where'd you
geology
all go?
Things.
Where'd you go?
Lee County.
For Potter intern stuff?
Yeah. We have this Potter internship that will start in May. And so we have some students coming. So we were setting up a spring to monitor. Mm-hmm. And kind of just scoping out one of the project areas, but
cool.
It was beautiful.
It was a gorgeous
and there were
day.
Lots of flowers.
Yeah, nice.
Which I was the only one that was really ecstatic about. You found the yellow trout lily.
Can you identify them? Could you identify
them? Not trout
them?
Lily.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very
common
good.
Common names.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Out in the field in the springtime is nice. Okay, a couple of things before we get started. Might as well mention this, state geologist search. We're still without a state geologist. We're probably expecting an announcement in a week, maybe less.
I don't think there'll be an announcement
that
in a week.
That sounds very
okay.
Wishful.
Oh, in a week of this being released.
Yeah, right as we record, today is April 18th, 2024, so...
Yeah.
In the next week, would you think, or no?
No.
No. Okay.
I
don't know.
I think the candidates will be informed, but I don't think we will.
Okay.
To be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we're searching for state geologists still. It's in someone else's hands, and that'll happen at some point.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when it comes around. I wanted to mention a little quick hit on Southeast GSA, the Southeast Geological Society of America section meeting, which I went to this week. It was a great meeting. There were lots of KGS people. There were lots of Department of Earth Environmental Sciences people representing UK and a lot of great projects. So it's been a while since I've been to a section meeting. I always go to the annual meeting, and we've talked about the annual meeting on this podcast before, but the section meetings are cool. They're a little more high energy. There's they're kind of condensed. There's only there's 300 people.
Yeah. And everybody knows kind of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Past years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lots of students presenting on great stuff. So it's been a long, long time for me on these section meetings. So I was really glad to be there. But as I mentioned to you, Doug, there's lots of sessions on Southern Appalachian geology, tectonics, geochronology, structural geology of very complicated old rocks in the Blue Ridge and in the Piedmont. So that's real, really cool to see. And you just kind of, get the feeling those heavy hitters of Southern Appalachian geology are there still doing their thing.
Naming things.
Yeah. Making up lots of names, lots of arm waving on numbers.
Yeah. I mean,
this suture and this fault. And
yeah. This terrain.
This terrain. Go back and listen to our, episode with Ryan Thigpen. We talk about terrains.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just love kind of listening to a lot of that stuff. I worked with Stuart Farrar at Eastern Kentucky University for my master's looking at old rocks in the Eastern Piedmont. So, to dip my toe back into what people are doing there again was pretty fun.
Asheville.
Yes. The meeting was in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
I went on a fantastic landslide field trip on Sunday, led by several people from the North Carolina Survey. We saw awesome sort of spectrum of landslide types from rock falls and rock slides to some recent debris flow tracks to some kind of lumpy, wavy debris slides. So really, we had a beautiful day. Weather was perfect. So... just an all-around good time.
Nice. Yeah.
So talking about the landslides there leads us to today's topic, which is engineering geology. And landslides and geologic hazards fit into engineering geology in a pretty big way, along with lots of other disciplines that we can talk about. But who's going to help us talk about this? It's Sarah Johnson, who's a faculty member in the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences here at UK. Sarah has a BS in geology from City College of New York, a master's in geology from Purdue University, and a PhD in geology from the University of Kentucky. Plus, Sarah's a super nice, cool person. We've known each other. We've known each other for quite a while. Sarah, welcome to the Big Blue Rock Pod.
Thank you. Yeah. Hello.
It's really awesome. It's awesome to have you here for sure.
Yeah.
So I guess just introduce yourself in a nutshell. How do you characterize yourself as a geologist?
Yeah. Well, I guess you touched on a little my history a little bit, but my master's was actually in engineering geology at Purdue, and I studied with Arvid Johnson, who our former state geologist,
yes,
Bill Hanneberg, also studied with at UC before he moved to Purdue. So there's kind of a lineage there bit. And then I worked with Bill as my PhD main advisor. So, for my master's, I worked mostly on debris flows, actually, out west, which was great. I loved learning how to map them and make observations and then take that and, you know, develop a whole thesis around that.
Where out west was that?
That was in the Columbia River Gorge.
Yeah,
which is a beautiful place to work. Great place to work. Camped on a debris flow for about 6 weeks.
That's
awesome.
Not active.
Making maps, yeah.
Not active.
In fact, there was no rain at all whatsoever that entire time.
Oh,
it was like 95.
Oh, wow.
And sunny every day. But after that, I worked as an engineering geologist for a couple years, actually, in Cincinnati, northern Kentucky. And so I put that into practice and worked on landslides, worked on stream restoration projects, tunneling projects, you know, roadways, rock cuts, erosion problems, just lots of different things like that. Not every engineering geology topic, but I got to put what I learned into practice and for a couple of years, and then I taught at Northern Kentucky University for quite a while, and then got really interested in some of the new kinds of tools that were becoming available that weren't really available when I was getting my master's, like LIDAR data.
Yeah.
That's a big one, and remote sensing data, and just there were just ways to answer questions that weren't wasn't possible to do before. So I was like, I'm ready to take the next step and do a PhD. So I got my PhD last year. Now I'm working here, and that is my little history in a nutshell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, definitely super glad you're here. We met a while ago, and I can't remember the first time we met, but one thing that popped into my mind was, I think Drew was like, hey, you're doing landslide stuff. You have to go meet Sarah Johnson, who's teaching at Northern Kentucky, because she's doing some landslide stuff. So I probably reached out to you in some capacity, but.
Yeah, I remember going into the field and looking at some landslides in Northern Kentucky right there, and some big ones up there. And
remember we went to a pretty big slide in Bellevue, and it crashed into the back of condominium.
Yep.
And, I don't know, just a soil slide, not medium size, but it came down the slope, crashed into the condo. I mean, mud everywhere inside this place. No one was hurt, I don't think, but the news came, I remember, and interviewed me, and I was like, oh boy, hope I can say the right things here. But
I think that was you. I don't remember.
Okay.
Doing anything like that.
That was, and we've seen a lot of landslides together in Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area over the years. So let's just, my thought here is to kind of have a broad conversation, sort of a 30,000 foot view of engineering geology and the topics associated with that. You know, I joked earlier, if we want to get into shear strength of soils and effective stress and transient infiltration equations, we probably can, but that might not be so fun for
well there's some classes
people.
Here at UK someone could take if they really want to get into that.
So let's just start this off. We kind of always do this with the topics and start off broad here. What is engineering geology? And I'll just hammer out a definition here and see what you all think about it. I sort of melded a few definitions I found from some books and what I, you know, some notes and stuff. Engineering geology, discipline that intersects geology and engineering, earth and humans, focusing on solving challenges within hazards, environmental issues, geotechnical engineering, land use, public health, and public safety. Does that sound like a acceptable definition to you?
Sure. Yeah, I think sometimes the term built environment is used.
It's, yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, descriptive for me, I guess, is that that's the environment that we're addressing. Anything that is built,
yeah.
Then we need an engineer and we need, you know, geologists to inform the engineers or communicate with engineers kind of what the geologic situation is, to translate the geology so that they can use it to figure out what parameters they need to make their designs.
Exactly, yeah. It's a true multidisciplinary subject in, you know, in geology with so many parts. It's also, you often hear it called applied geology. Mm-hmm. So application of traditional geologic concepts to specific projects.
Yeah.
That, and we've all benefited, we all benefit from this, right? I mean, will this tall building sway and not fall over during an earthquake? Where is the good spot to put the landfill? Where is the good spot to put the dam? Like, those questions need geologists and they need engineers. They need engineering geologists. So how all that comes together to make safe places to live and reduce risk is kind of what we're all shooting for.
Yeah.
That intersection of humans and geology and how we're going to build in this environment, right? And considering that.
Precisely.
But yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. I just hear the term and I'm like, oh yeah, that's, you need a geologist to help you with your engineering, but not thinking about it.
I mean, that's a good point though, because most engineering geologists, I kind of consider myself an engineering geologist too, but we're trained as traditional geologists, right? Mm-hmm. Like my background was pretty poor in physics and lots of civil engineering concepts and math, and so we have kind of a traditional geologic training, and then a lot of us kind of pivot over to some of the more engineering side of things. That was the way it was for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most engineering geologists are trained as geologists, so we have that broad background. So we need to understand, you know, soils, rock, fractures, tectonics, hydrology.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot that we need to understand to the best we can so that we can, like, understand what the uncertainties are, as well as what, you know, what we're testing. Like if you're making test borings, if you're collecting data, you know, we can't just assume that those little bits of information are describing adequately an entire area where the project is going to go. And so that's one part of an engineering geologist's job, is to convey that uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, if you have like a karst sinkhole, see,
yay!
I fit karst in there.
Oh, yes, I don't have to do it.
Oh boy.
Yay, karst.
Yeah, so if you have an area of karst and say you want to build a dam, sometimes you don't have a choice of where you're going to build something. Sometimes there is no good spot necessarily, but you have to figure out what you need to do, build in that spot. So like back in the old days, maybe you would just like fill in the hole and build on top of it.
Latecomer.
No one's ever done that. No, back in the day, that was kind of, they didn't understand right. necessarily that sinkhole might be connected to another sinkhole, might be connected to a whole underground subsurface water system, and that plumbing is going to continue to exist, and it's going to be changed by the fact that you put a dam in there and you completely change the hydrology, and that's going to potentially have an impact. So having a broader context of like not just what's underneath you, but what's surrounding you, what the possibilities are from knowing about the geology, knowing about the geologic history, the tectonic history, that's going to inform whatever project you're working on.
So that's sort of the backdrop, I guess. Is that right? Whereas like a straight engineer would be focused on the building of the structure or the improvement, whereas as the engineering geologist, you're looking at, will this support it? Or you're not really into the plans of the building, but the background information, is that?
Exactly.
Right? Okay, cool.
Yes,
cool.
Yeah. So if you're like building a dam or something like that, and like the geologist is going to be really interested in fractures and, you know, areas where there's dissolution and, you know, things like that, that, you know, aren't necessarily going to show up in a boring or a engineering drawing, but they're important because that's going to tell you about like how the subsurface water is going to flow, or, you know, what soils have what properties, and that can impact your well, hopefully it will impact your design before you actually build. You don't want it to impact what you're actually building.
Yeah, it's kind of like the geologist's job is to provide the most accurate geologic model of a site that they can. What is that? Maybe it's just an accurate, well-done geologic map. Maybe it's a nice assessment of the geomorphology and potential landslide activity, or, you know, like you said, fractures or
sinkholes.
Karst character. karst features.
Cool,
so
cool.
Providing the best information about the geology we can so it's used in the right way.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's perfect. So I started thinking about, I think about this a lot, like how engineering geology fits into a broader, group of geoscience disciplines. Because there's, I think it's perceived that there's two sort of separate things, right? Geology and engineers. And that's not the healthiest way to look at it. So I was going to start out with a joke here for this topic.
I was going to say,
okay.
Man.
I mean,
are you ready? This is the first joke told on the Big
first.
Blue Rod Pod. No. You all have probably heard this joke. Okay, I'm going to, here we go. There's a geologist, a geophysicist, and an engineer in the room with their boss. The boss asked, "What's 2 + 2? The geologist thinks for a while and says, "Well, it's probably more than 3 and less than 5. The engineer punches it into his calculator and answers, "That's 4.0000000. The geophysicist gets up, locks the door, pulls the curtains, unplugs the phone, and says, "What do you want it to be?" Is that too harsh? There's this, all, you know, kind of just geologists and engineers, how they're thought of and how we think about this broad discipline, how it's marketed, kind of, right? Like going from traditional geologic problems like geologic mapping and age dating and stuff like that to problems that are applied and project efforts to reduce risk. So I don't know, say what you will about how we fit in broadly to other geosciences or how engineering geologists are perceived.
Well, I think sometimes engineering geologists are like the sad stepchild. Geology, because, you know, we're dealing with practical things, you know, and but for those of us, and I include myself, who like thinking about practical things and ways of doing things better, it's very attractive. I think for myself as a geologist, and maybe other folks too, is like I do have an engineering geology side, but I also like addressing kind of basic science things as well. But I think for me, it's really important to the things that we learn as a science and all the multidisciplinary things from all the other aspects of geology, you know, geomorphology, hazards, climate, hydrology, tectonics, geologic history, all of those things inform us. And but I think it's important, that's one way we can really have a positive impact is by, you know, being a part of kind of sustainable development. And as we move forward, I mean, there's so many needs that our society has, particularly with climate change and thinking about resilience to hazards and so on in Kentucky, everywhere really, that we can really have a very positive impact, you know, all over the place. So how does it fit in? I guess it's sometimes considered maybe not the sexiest part of geology.
Right.
But I think it is a really, really, really relevant and very potentially very impactful part of geology, where we can really try to make the world a better place. Help so that things are engineered really well, so that they are resilient, so that they last. You know, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I think it's always been a struggle in the geosciences to sort of explain our relevance, you know, to the wider world. I mean, there's energy extraction. We've had that for a long time, but engineering geology, yeah, it's one of these places where we can really explain our relevance to, you know, wider application. You know, it's not just an academic exercise of understanding how mountains form, which is a very cool thing, but
yeah,
you know, it's very applied and you know, relevant to sustainability and that sort of thing. And one of the things about I mentioned the Potter interns, but when we interviewed them, one of the things that's coming out with younger students is they always want to know that what they're doing makes an impact. And it seems like this is a discipline where you can make an impact. If you want to go into geology, you can, they want to make a societal impact what they're, almost everybody we interviewed was very concerned about that, which I found really cool and interesting.
But it's really uplifting.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that is, that's good to hear.
It was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. I was going to maybe mention this later, but this might be the right place. Like, traditionally, civil engineering departments and geology departments are kept separate. And like, there's not that much overlap between subjects taught in both those types of departments. And there really kind of should be. Some schools have engineering geology degrees, geological engineering. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hear it turned that way. So there should be more applied programs, I think.
I think the ones that I know about are usually at kind of the master's level and not so much undergrad level. But I think you're right that there should be, because there are a lot of jobs out there for students who don't necessarily need an advanced degree, but who can, you know, work in the engineering geology field. And yes, maybe they could go get a master's later. That is kind of the sweet spot for that career. But there are many, 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 many jobs out there for those who graduate with a Bachelor of Science degree. You know, there is a need for engineering geologists. Just as an example, I was I heard about one program out west where there was such a need that local companies around the university funded a position at the university to teach engineering geology because there was a need for that in the region. And there just aren't very many programs, as you said, but there is a need. So there is a disconnect there for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. Okay, so I have a list here of some, we can get a little specific, like a specific topics in engineering geology. This is a list from this engineering geology paper from 2016. It's kind of like a 50-year history of engineering geology. So I'm just going to go through the list because it's just topics, and maybe we can take a couple and expand on them if you want. Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so engineering geologists, kind of what they do and know. Physical and mechanical properties of soil and rock. You mentioned that earlier. Engineering geology for engineering and geotechnical projects, such as hydropower stations, dams, tunnels, foundations, slope stability. You mentioned that before, too. Third, site characterization. We've also touched on this as well. Site characterization is kind of an interesting phrase, and you hear it a lot, right? Characterize the site. This can also include geophysics and I think remote sensing applications that you can apply to
so like a building site that you're interested in, or sites that you may have to choose from.
So I mentioned earlier, like geologic models, which then form the basis of any decisions that are made on building on a site, say. Also, other topics here, landslides, which we mentioned earlier, you know, modeling landslide hazard and risk. Also, seismic hazards, karst hazards, mine subsidence. And then last was environmental geology. So that can, you know, be a lot of things, but CO2 capture and storage, waste disposal, groundwater pollution remediation. So that's a big, long list of stuff.
That is a long list.
But, you know, those are the critical areas that engineering geologists have to think about and are trained in. So, I don't know, take any of them you want and expand. Landslides,
maybe? Oh, my gosh, I always hated that on test questions.
Expand.
Do you feel like you're in school again?
Yeah. We are in school. Oh, my gosh. I think landslides would be an easy one because I like to work on landslides, and landslides are very relevant here in Kentucky as well as, you know, lots of places around the world. And I think it's a huge issue because not only have there always been landslides, but with changes in precipitation and temperature, that's changing things. That's changing how, you know, perhaps landslide frequency or magnitude. I think that's, you know, a really critical thing. And in addition, a lot of, as our population grows, kind of a lot of the easy spots to build on have been built on. And now we're, you know, being forced to use or choosing to use more steeply sloping areas. And so there is going to be an increased risk of landslide as you have steeper slopes. So those two things together, and just our ongoing need for infrastructure. I mean, we're in the midst of lots of places needing more housing for people and infrastructure associated with that. We have a lot of aging infrastructure. And so wherever you have slopes and stuff, we need to think about slope stability. So I think that's a huge area. I think there's been, you know, lots more publications these days about it. We have many more tools to look at them and understand them. Between having really great LIDAR data and repeat, you know, surveys from LIDAR, other remote sensing data like SAR data, plus the computing power that we have now, we can learn a lot more about them. And I think we've kind of been coming through the stage of like kind of doing surveys of them, counting, coming up with what's the word for like when you count a bunch of all the landslides in a county?
An inventory.
An inventory. Thank you.
Yeah.
Could not think of that one. Yeah, landslide inventories. But what we want to eventually be able to do is, you know, come up with like an early warning system where we can see, okay, this slope is starting to deform. This is a really vulnerable area. Here is a storm coming. Soil's already saturated from the two storms we had last week. You know, here is an early warning system that can, you know, prevent, you know, loss of life, help make that area more resilient and like not be as damaged as it potentially could be. So I think that's what, you know, we'd like to work towards. That's sort of where I'm thinking, and a lot of us are thinking that that's what we kind of would like to be able to do. That's my expansion. I expanded.
Yeah. Is that good? Very, very good expansion. I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, landslides, they really have, I don't know if they dominate, you know, engineering geology, but they're a big, big part of it. Whenever you go to annual national GSAs, you know, the Environmental Engineering Geology Division there, which I was going to mention at the end of the, I was going to plug, make a plug for them at the end of the podcast, but, you know, that division in GSA that sponsors technical sessions, there's lots of landslide sessions, right? Landslides are kind of just big there for all the reasons you just said, and they because, you know, they showcase sort of this, how engineering geology works, right? We have to know about the soils and the rocks and the geomorphology, but the engineers have to take that in the hydrology. The engineers have to take that information to come up with slope stability models and factors of safety for building this or that, and so that's all very important.
I think it's interesting. Like you specified, like landslides, but everything you said really applies to like cars too, and probably every other like hazard or whatever. One of the things that really struck me was you talking about less land to build on, and that now you find people building in these like less than ideal places more frequently, I guess. Just in like the couple years I was at Bowling Green at WKU for my master's, I noticed that, and going back, you know, more recently to Bowling Green, I noticed that a lot of areas have built up. Previously, there was all these green spaces in town that were really only there because there were so many sinkholes you couldn't build there, not because mm-hmm. they were parks or something. And I, every time I see more and more housing and things going up over these sinkhole areas that previously were empty, mm-hmm. and so I'd always wondered, well, is the engineering better? Or is it a land availability issue or somewhere in the middle, probably both? And so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I what you just said reminded me kind of in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, like in Cincinnati proper, there are, you know, rules where if you're going to develop on a hillside, you have to have an engineering geologist look at that property or a geotechnical engineer, and you have to do an assessment of that slope and so on before they can do anything. But in a lot of the outlying communities, the small towns that are just basically right outside of that, they don't have that. And so
it's buyer
you're
beware.
You're a little bit on your own there.
Interesting.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very good question.
Some combination, something in between.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And yeah, the same thing with the climate change. You talked about magnitude and frequency of landslides, and how the climate change might affect that magnitude and frequency. I think like what I've seen for Kentucky is predicted is that the quantity of rainfall per average annual rainfall may not increase all that much. It will increase rather than decrease, but maybe not all that much, but the timing will change a lot. And so much more intense storms with a longer period in between. So this oil dries out and you get more like sediment, overland flow and sediment mobilization and stuff in those intense storms. And so, yeah, it's all very related. I find that interesting, I guess.
Yes.
Point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
More intense convective storms is happening along with the average annual precip increase.
That's
over
right.
Decades. They're both happening. I mean, this debris flow I saw in North Carolina last week was a result of a convective storm that dumped eight inches of rain in less than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like right on the Blue Ridge Escarpment. So there's an orographic effect there. But so that's just to say these storms can be really localized. So it kind of was on this couple of catchments.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it dumped and a debris flow happened. And
yeah. So landslides, flooding, in-karst or non-karst areas,
yeah.
Like all of those things are engineering geology things, I'd imagine, too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We haven't really talked about flooding much so far, but that's definitely another
huge
issue for Kentucky and many places.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Well, some of the stuff you mentioned there are a nice segue to the next thing I want to talk about, like so motivations for engineering geology and what we do, and then also concerns about tackling some of those things. So some of these you mentioned, but population growth is huge, right? We have more people that are going to demand more resources, need for raw materials, natural resources, or minerals, stuff for infrastructure growth. You all just mentioned increased loss from natural hazards, climate change, big driver there. But what concerns do we have about those things that we know we need to address?
Well, I think one thing you mentioned already is that there aren't a lot of programs for training people in engineering geology. part of that, I suspect, might be kind of a funding issue too, typically there are not so many grants available to fund kind of practical science or practical applications of science, I should say. And, you know, it often grants are more focused on, you know, doing something really new, you know, developing a new technique, developing new new basic science observations and results and that kind of thing, and not so much focused on, okay, this is something we know, how do we make it better, how do we apply it to this situation, how do we apply it to that situation. So I think there is a little bit of a funding issue there, so we don't have a lot of faculty who are in engineering geology, because, you know, part of being a faculty member is, being able to get funded, yeah, and so on. So I think there's a little disconnect there. That's not to say there is no funding and no opportunity, but it is just not maybe as emphasized.
Agree.
So I think that's one issue. And again, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect, because there are so many jobs and opportunities for our graduates with a bachelor's degree to get work in these, doing these kinds of things, and of course as masters and whatever, but I think that's a challenge right now. And one thing I'm hoping to do while I'm here at UK is we're working on our curriculum a bit and adding some new courses, and including engineering geology, a course on landslides. So those would be ways that we would have a better educated, you know, student population who could go out and address some of these things. So, yeah, that's my two cents.
I fully agree. And I think you mentioned this earlier, and it's super important. Expressing uncertainty.
Yes.
Is a big part of all of these topics and these models that we're making. For example, right, our landslide susceptibility maps, you know, how do we explain those well to end users? What does it mean for this house who's this close to some place that we're calling moderate susceptibility of landslide activity? Like, what does that mean? And can right. can we explain that? And can we explain the uncertainty involved in the modeling? And that's huge in all of these disciplines.
Yeah. And that's very important these days. And people ask about uncertainty much more, I think, than they used to.
Yeah.
In terms of if you're publishing a paper or something like mm-hmm. that,
yeah.
we always want to know what the uncertainties are in our values.
Well, this may be sort of an aside, but you mentioned geotechnical engineers mm-hmm. before. What's kind of the difference between, you know, an engineering geologist and a geotechnical engineer?
Okay.
Are they kind of the same? I don't think they are.
They're not quite the same, yeah. but they do work together for sure.
Right, yeah.
So like an engineering geologist is a geologist first and foremost. And a geotechnical engineer, I guess, would be more on the soils foundations side of civil mm-hmm. engineering.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
for example, when I worked as an engineering geologist, I worked for a geotechnical part of an environmental consulting company. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with geotechnical engineers. I would, you know, if they needed a geologist to work on a particular project, I would work on that project, but I would always work with a geotechnical engineer. So
yeah,
usually
yeah.
we would work as a team.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And, they would do the design. So like I'm a professional geologist in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Licensed.
And there are many yeah. licensed. Yeah. And, but then to do the actual design, you have to be a professional engineer.
Engineer. Yeah. 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 yeah
so
yeah,
they would do the designs yeah. and I would inform the designs basically.
But yeah, what you're saying, I guess a lot of firms are hiring, you know, people with geology degrees to kind of consult with these geotechnical engineers.
Yeah.
That's
to
encouraging.
Work with those
yeah.
groups. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And that those kinds of jobs might be anything from doing, you know, field work and collecting samples and, or, you know, working in the lab or doing geophysical work or working on soil, you know, samples or rock core. I mean, there's, you know, lots of things that go into mm-hmm. projects.
Telling how the engineers to read a geologic map. Yeah, that sounds, like, sounds silly,
like
but
an engineer, you know, whisperer for geologists.
Yeah, that's a new term.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's when I was in grad school, I took this rock mechanics course, and there are a lot of engineers in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a few geologists, and the professor, we had a like class project, and kind of hooked us up together to work on a project, and so I was paired with an engineer student, and we went out and looked at this outcrop, and it was for his master's thesis, which was stabilizing rock cuts that through folded areas, which mm-hmm. there's a lot in Northeast Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew a lot about engineering,
yep.
but knew nothing about the geology that,
right.
you know, he was looking at these folds as being very discrete things, you know.
Right.
And I was kind of like, well, they, you know, they're formed this way, and, you know, and I don't, my engineering knowledge is pretty limited, but it was kind of neat because I was like, oh, we can talk to each other, you know, but it was also sort of eye-opening that he was going into this whole field and knew very little about the geology, but mm-hmm. Hopefully these firms are just hiring geologists and they can all talk to each other or whatever.
No, that's a really good point. One thing I had in this list was terminology differences.
Ooh.
That's often talked about, yeah, right? Yeah. What engineers think soil is versus what geologists think soil is, or what we think porosity is and how they use porosity, or they use void ratio, or, you know, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and units. Don't forget units.
Units. Grain size is kind of thought differently amongst geologists.
Sorting
versus
engineers. Grading.
Oh, yeah,
precisely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Clays, is that a clay?
Unit weight, density.
Yeah.
All
these things, yeah, so that's important.
Yeah. Sorry, that was kind of an aside, but
what you're saying makes
yeah.
sense. Yeah. As I always think about like a glacial deposit where you have, you know, glacial till, and then you have like pockets where there's outwash and some lacustrine clays and things like that. And like, if you don't understand how the history there mm-hmm. and what all the possibilities are, that, yeah, maybe you didn't hit any outwash in this one boring you did, and it was all glacial till.
Yeah.
I know this whole valley was filled with outwash at one point, so we need to know that because you could have water flow there that might impact your design. So not just thinking about at one discrete point, mm-hmm. but putting in a context, that's, I think, where geologists, you know, have a really important role.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, 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 yeah,
for sure. Okay, we're moving along here. Sarah, I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about some of your research projects or things you're into now.
Sure. Yeah. I guess one thing I'm interested in is, as I mentioned, landslides. I like to work on landslides here in Kentucky, and we've worked on a couple together,
mm-hmm.
Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to, what I've been doing is working on looking at landslides over time, particularly like these slow moving landslides that some years may not move very much, other years move a lot, and just kind of characterizing how they move over time and how different types of landslides move over time. And I've also worked on landslides in other areas, like in Nepal. I worked on a landslide with Bill that was looking at a seismic trigger in that case and the influence of kind of the low poor water pressure that happened to be there at the time made it so this very large landslide did not move that much, while there were tons of landslides that around it on mm-hmm. kind of steeper slopes that did move. So things like that I'm interested in. I mentioned kind of working towards, you know, getting to where we can like see how landslides initiate and being able to like, you know, see where that happens in time so that we can do something about it before a landslides occur. Often as an engineering geologist, you're called in after a landslide. And so you're trying to figure out how to fix it, but it would be great to like prevent it in the first place. I'm really interested in climate change and how that impacts all hazards in Kentucky and other places around the world. And one thing I'm also interested in is working on tectonically active areas. I've been doing some work in the Tetons, for example, Nepal, and I am really interested in, you know, faulting, earthquakes, the timing of those, hazards associated with those. So that is another area that I'm really interested in.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to mention earlier that the Taiwan earthquake that was a few weeks ago, right? Taiwan, it was a 7.4. You know, Taiwan does a really good job of engineering their buildings. So, you know, there wasn't a ton of building collapse. Even the tall buildings sway and they stand up. Where there were lots of problems, there were a lot of rock falls, a lot of landslides.
Oh, wow. I took it as a success story because they were really... I didn't hear about the rock falls and landslides, but from the building perspective, they did a good job, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is kind of neat.
What else? I was going to give anything else, any other projects or stuff for you? You're a great teacher. You didn't mention that.
But
you, you teach a lot and, you know, that's a big part.
I'm working
part
on it.
You do UAV work too.
Uh-huh.
Or work with
drones
and.
Yep. Yeah. With drones.
Yeah.
Little drones, big drones.
Is that mostly LIDAR?
LIDAR and imagery.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So the LIDAR, Matt and I have flown some landslides, collecting LIDAR data. But you can also do some pretty cool stuff with imagery and photogrammetry where you can create 3D models from a whole bunch of overlapping images.
And nice.
There's some neat things you can do with that. There's some limitations to it too, of course, but it does a really good job.
Cool. Well, I was going to give a plug for the Geological Society of America Environmental Engineering Geology Division. It's a great division at GSA. Their mission is to advance the ability of geologists to identify, characterize, mitigate adverse geological and environmental conditions and hazards affecting human safety and the built environment, which we mentioned earlier. So check out the division if you're a member of GSA. The meeting this year is in Anaheim, California in September. So it's a good group. They really do a lot for students. There's lots of opportunities for students, early career engineering geologists. So I can make a plug because I'm involved in the division to some degree.
They have t-shirts.
T-shirt with swag. Check out this water bottle, man.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We did got you swag. Bring that for this
That's
episode?
Very nice.
No, I just always have it.
Yeah.
Never stops thinking about engineering.
Right.
Never.
Really.
Never. Sarah, you've been very generous with your time. Great guest.
Thank you.
Good. You know, the conversations fly by.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Enjoyed having a chance to talk with you guys.
All right, you all.
Awesome.
See ya.
Sweet.
See ya.
Thanks,
Bye.
Sarah.
Thanks.
Bye.
This podcast was produced by the Kentucky Geological Survey at the University of Kentucky. Special thanks to Rebecca Frazier for technical support. If you have ideas for the show, email mcrawford@uky.edu. Thanks for listening.